Our scripture reading today is from Luke 15, 25 through 32. It goes, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field." This is the story of the prodigal son. I've cut to the end a little bit. I really want to focus here on the older brother. So keep the whole story in mind as we go forward. "So meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with harlots, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So how many of you like Hollywood endings when you go to the movies? You know, the joy-filled scenes, the nice calm music at the end, everything came together. I love those times. I watched a movie last night. It was a scary movie. I don't do scary movies very much, but Taylor, she loves scary movies. But we went to a movie. It was great. And at the end, everybody was happy. Everything was good in the world. But sometimes that's not how life goes. It's not what life gives us. Life doesn't always give us this Hollywood ending. Or at the end, we're all happy. Everything worked out the way we thought it'd work out, or worked out in a way we may not have thought it would, but ended up being great. We go to bed smiling that night, and it's a great rest of our lives. Life doesn't always give us that. Sometimes life, it throws in a plot twist. We don't see what's coming next. The good guy, he doesn't win. The problem, it never gets solved. The bad guy doesn't get what's coming to him. Sometimes we want this Hollywood ending, but we don't always get one. This is the problem with the prodigal son here. The younger son, he asked for his inheritance early, which at that time was in effect saying to his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my stuff now. I wish you were gone so I could have it. Give it to me now." He went to the Old Testament Las Vegas. He blew his entire inheritance, did all the wrong things there, which I've heard there's a lot of good things happen there too. I'm not for sure. But he blew his entire inheritance. The land his father gave him, the money, the slaves, whatever he was given, he blew it all. He was broke. He was starving. He was homeless. He finally came around to his senses. He threw away his pride and came home to his father. He asked for the forgiveness. And as we know, his father didn't say, "All right, you can work with the servants," like he asked for. He said, "Welcome home. You're my son. Let's get you some nice clothes and some rings. Let's throw you a big party." He was received with this grace and open arms. This broken family, it was reunited. And if this story was a movie and it ended right here, that would be that Hollywood ending that we all love and love to watch. Everyone's happy. The music's playing. The credits roll. It's great. But there's a plot twist that no one saw coming. The father didn't think about this. I don't think the other son did either. It was the anger of the older brother. And this anger, it can teach us, I think, three lessons today that we can learn from his anger. First, we see the older brother, he lost his joy. He had this great life. I'm sure his father was richer. I wouldn't say the richest man around, but he had land, he had property, he had servants. He had a pretty easy life. But the older brother, he was angry with his younger brother. And I don't know, I might be as well. His younger brother, he hurt his father, hurt him real bad, ran off, took all his stuff. But when he came home, he was welcomed. His older brother, he stayed behind, and he labored every day, just as he's done all those years. Stayed with his father, done everything his father had asked him. But what did the father do? He receives the younger son with open arms. That's not what the older brother wanted. That's not what he believed the younger brother deserved. The word received is translated from the ancient Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. So when it says the father, he received the son, it's really saying the father, he offered peace between them. That's what really made the older brother mad. He went and hurt his father. He had taken all the money and blew it, threw it all away. But the father said, it's okay. We're at peace between each other. There's no hard feelings. All was forgiven. And to add insult to injury for the older brother, they were pulling out all the stops. They gave him the nicest clothes, the nicest rings, threw this big party with the fattened calf. The older brother hadn't even received a young goat to celebrate with his friends. So let me ask you a question. Are you happy when great things happen to others? What if it happens to them and not to you? In Romans it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's not hard to weep with those who weep. We hug them, we pray with them, we cry with them, and we be with them. Usually a situation like that, it's sad for both people. To different degrees maybe, but it's a sad time. So to weep with those who weep is not a hard time. But to rejoice with those who rejoice, that's a little bit harder at times. That's the older brother's problem here. When we can't rejoice with those who rejoice, it's because we think we deserve it more, or we deserve more than they received. We start to think that because of our good deeds and our faithfulness to God or to whatever it is, that we are owed something, something more than the other person received. We start to believe, because we've been keeping the rules, that we deserve to be blessed, we deserve to be given that raise, that promotion at work. We deserve the bigger house. And it kills our joy. Because the only joy we experience at that time in life is when good things happen to us. We forget all the other times. We forget the times when good things happen to others and we celebrate with them. We forget the small blessings in life that we just look over at times. And we lose our joy. So that's the first lesson we learned from the older brother. How easy it is to lose this joy, and how his focus was pointed in the wrong direction. The second lesson is he lost his focus. The older brother, he got caught playing the comparison game. Instead of rejoicing that his brother came home, he was angry. All he could think about was my brother, he lived wildly. My dad, he received him back. I've been here this whole time doing the right thing, and there's no benefit to it. I haven't received anything as reward. Have you ever noticed that when we compare ourselves or what we have to others, we always pick out someone who has more than us, someone who has just received something bigger than us? It's when we look at our friends or our family or a colleague and say, man, I'm doing all the right things, but they have these nice cars, this mansion. Why don't I have those things? I'm doing my best. I'm following all the rules. I've never even gotten a speeding ticket. Why is this happening to me? What we do is we fail to consider that this isn't all bad. We have things in our lives. We have a house. We have a car. We have family of some kind that loves us, a community of believers that care for us. We have all this. But in comparing and focusing on that comparison with others, we lose our focus. We lose that joy to see what is great in our own lives. And like I said, that's what the older brother he does here. This comparison game that focuses on what we don't have rather than what we do have. But here's the problem. Here's what we don't realize. When I'm envious and jealous of others, my problem isn't with that person who has what I want. That's not really the problem. It looks that way on the surface, but that's not it. My problem is really with God. It's because God, we believe that God gives us blessings. He bestows blessings upon us. He takes us down safe roads, helps us in times of need. But when we focus on times when others have more, what we're really saying is, God, why don't we have those things? Why didn't you give it to me? Why didn't you do that for me? Why him? Why not me? Paul, he sees this. he understands that Christ, following him, doesn't mean your life is easy. Doesn't mean I got God on my side, smooth sailing the rest of the way. That's not how it works. Paul sees it. He says, if anybody deserves an easy life, it would have been Jesus. Jesus, he never sinned. He gave up his home in heaven. He came as a human being. He gave up his royalty, his kingdom, all these great things. And what did he get in return other than pain and betrayal and suffering? From all his closest friends, from everybody around him. So why do we think we'll be exempt from that? Why do we think we deserve more if Jesus got way less than we will ever even get close to coming close to? But Paul, he really points that out in his letters. His letters to the Romans and the Hebrews especially. He shows that how we can know Jesus even more intimately and powerful in our lives is by sharing in his suffering, by realizing that life isn't easy. But to be in a relationship with Jesus, that's what makes it better. Paul puts it this way, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming more like him in his death. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us free of charge. So we should not expect the greatness in life. All that is a gift. Everything we have is a gift. If anything, we should expect the pain and the suffering and disappointments in life that come with following Jesus. It's not easy. That's why Paul, he talks about the race. So he talked about the amazing race those past couple of weeks, about that endurance and training that comes along with following Jesus. Paul, he says again, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Another interesting thing I saw from the prodigal son, change the subject a little bit, is the older brother, he did the same thing to the father as the younger brother did, just in a different fashion. He shamed him with his actions. At that time, a party like that, the receiving of family, especially a brother, that was the older brother's responsibility. He was supposed to throw that party for him, make it grand, make it amazing, welcome his brother back home. But instead, his dad had to throw it. And then when his brother wouldn't go in, when he said, I'm not going near there, that's not fair, and the father left and talked to the older brother, that was humiliating. This family was not united. This father didn't have what seemed to be the authority over the family. Instead, he was leaving the party, leaving the guest as the host, and going out and begging and pleading with his son. The father, he ended up treating them both the same. He ended up saying, look, I love both of you. All that is mine is yours. So don't worry about it. Be happy. Be happy your brother's home. Because we're all family. The third is the older brother. He lost his perspective. First, it's about Jesus. Then others. And then somewhere along the list, our perspective is on ourselves. Yet it's so easy to follow the message of today. To follow the message of just being a human. And that's focusing on yourself. And forgetting about everybody else. We do this in our prayer life when we start to spend more time asking God for things for ourselves than listening for what God wants from us. We do this when we serve when it's only convenient instead of serving when we're called. We do it when we come to worship looking to be fed and filled. Rather, we come to worship to be fed and filled but also give ourselves wholeheartedly to God in worship and emptying all of ourselves to Him, all of our troubles, all of our problems, all of our praise, all of the glory He deserves. The older brother, he forgot that our standing before God had nothing to do with keeping the rules. We have a relationship with God by grace through faith. Works go along with that, but that's not the main focus. The main focus is faith through grace, or grace through faith. He wasn't accepted and loved by his father because he worked in the fields every day, because he never disobeyed him, because he didn't run off to the Old Testament Las Vegas and spend all their money and their property. He thought that, but that's not the way it was. And that's what many Christians today believe. We believe we follow all the rules in the Bible. We love one another. We care for one another. We show up to church on Sunday. We don't break any of the Ten Commandments. We go to Bible study. We do all these great things. We do a food pantry, feed the hungry. We do all these things. God's going to say, welcome. You're doing great, and I love you because you're doing great. But don't fail, because I won't love you anymore. That's not how it works. We don't deserve more blessings and more love from God just because we do all those things. All those things are important. Don't get me wrong. Don't stop doing them because you think this. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. What I'm trying to say is God loves us no matter what. To come to church, to come to Bible study, to feed the homeless, to love one another, to care for one another. Those are just things that go along with it. Those are things you want to do because you had received it yourself. Because God had done it for you, you want to spread that to all the world. That is your personal want, your personal longing. That should be your personal goal. The prodigal son here, he teaches us that you can be rebellious and lost. But as the older brother was, you can be religious and lost. Like I said, you can come to church and expect all these blessings. And that's being lost. You're off the path. But to follow God, it's not all about obedience either. It's not all about following all the rules. Hanging the Ten Commandments up on your ceiling. Every time you wake up, there it is. And saying, I'll follow all those today. That's not what it's about. The older brother, he believed that his obedience to his father was just a means to an end. It was a means to get the inheritance, to do the things his father asked, to be in his good grace. And when his dad didn't give him that party, he disobeyed. I'm not saying the older brother didn't love his father. I'm sure he loved him greatly. But he was doing these things out of that reward. All he wanted was that young goat to throw a party with his friends. He obeyed him so he'd love him and bless him. But the gospel, what Jesus is trying to get across here, it paints another picture. I am accepted and loved by God through the work of Jesus Christ, nothing else. Therefore, I obey out of love, out of trust, out of faith. Obedience to God is a response to God's love, not a prerequisite to attain it. So why isn't there a Hollywood ending here? Why isn't there a Hollywood ending all the time in our lives? It's because just like the older brother, sometimes we think we can earn God's love by just keeping the rules and calling it a day. Jesus, he left us something that was supposed to remind us. It's not about our performance. All it's about is his finished work on the cross. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. We should always love and care for one another and live our lives in a gracious response to that. And that's the Hollywood ending. Nothing else. If you'll pray with me. Well, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We can thank you for allowing us all to come together, to worship you, to praise you, to give ourselves over to you in faithfulness. And Lord, thank you for all the blessings in our lives. I know we sometimes don't see it, and that's okay. But help us to focus, to gain our joy back, to run the right race, to change our perspective, to focus all on the work you've done on the cross, and in that to show your love and our love for others in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.